Well, today's program will look at the peace that comes from having a good conscience. We'll also discuss St. Simon and St. Jude. Lots to talk about today on the Gary Zimek Show. Stay right where you are. Hey there, welcome to the program. Come on in, make yourself comfortable. My name is Gary Zimek. I will be here for the next 30 minutes, and I hope you'll be able to stay with me. Today we celebrate the Feast of Apostles, St. Simon and Jude. We're going to read the Mass readings from today. It's funny, the readings from today's Mass, which are special readings for the Apostles' Feast Day, and St. Simon and Jude are grouped together. They're relatively short, but they are some good, they contain some good messages and remind us of just how blessed we are that the Apostles were willing to spread the good news and share the teachings of Jesus Christ, because as a result, we have those teachings and we have a church because of their efforts. We'll also look at, because today is Wednesday, we'll look at the book My Daily Bread and talk about the peace that comes from a good conscience. When I speak about overcoming peace, and when I speak about achieving peace, and this is one of my most popular topics when I talk about how we can break free from anxiety and experience peace in our lives, one of the things that always has to be considered, it's not the only cause of a lack of peace, but one thing that must be considered is we have to question ourselves. Are we doing something in our lives that's wrong? And if so, we can't expect to be at peace. There's always going to be some restlessness or some feeling of not having peace if we are not doing what the Lord wants us to do. And that's a good thing, because that lack of peace can often lead us back to Him and lead us away from our sinfulness. But again, it's not the only cause of it, but it has to be considered. So we'll look today at the peace of a good conscience, as well as the Mass readings from St. Simon and Jude. That's really all I have today. I don't have any news coming up that I can think of. If I think of anything, I will let you know. But for the moment, I wasn't able to do my regular Wednesday segment on the Sunrise Morning Show today, but we will be resuming it next week. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. It's a series that we do every Wednesday on the Sunrise Morning Show on EWTN Radio. But we skipped this morning. I had some other commitments. We will be back in action next Wednesday on the program. I do want to let you know that if you are interested, and I've been getting some inquiries within the past few weeks, if you're interested in bringing me into your parish, in particularly during the Lenten season, I'm booking for 2016 right now, please let me know as soon as you can, and we could set something up. The best place to contact me is through my website, followingthetruth.com. That's followingthetruth.com. And we could make the plans. As I said, I do have some openings, but I recently got some inquiries, and we booked some dates for parish missions during Lent of 2016. But we don't only have to do it for Lent. I'd be happy to come to your parish throughout the year. Just let me know, Gary at followingthetruth.com, or visit my website directly, followingthetruth.com. All right, the beverage du jour before we pray. Here we go. Any guesses? Well, I don't even give you a chance to guess, because I don't think you'll get this one. Today I have some McDonald's coffee. And no, I didn't go to McDonald's for the coffee. This coffee comes from the supermarket. You can now get McDonald's coffee in the supermarket and brew it at home. So it's good stuff. I enjoy it. You know, as I always tell you, it's no Mystic Monk coffee, but it's still pretty good. I love my coffee. And I am going to be debuting some new beverages du jour within the next couple of days, so stay tuned for more information about that. All right, let's get on to more important things. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father, so many times we come to you and we are discouraged. So many times we just feel frustrated. We might not feel your presence. We might not feel like you're really listening to us. Well, Father, we ask you to help us feel your presence, help us to remember that you are always listening. And above all, we ask that you hear our intentions. We come before you today. We're thankful that you have given us another day. We're thankful for the many blessings in our lives, especially the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, who is our Messiah. Father, we ask you to help those who are sick, those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who might be struggling with doubt or despair, those who are dealing with financial problems, those who are dealing with extreme weather conditions, maybe religious persecution. Please help them all. Help them to feel your presence and help them with their problems. Father, I present this radio program to you, and I ask you to speak through me. Please speak through me and share your message with all of us. We also ask that you open our minds and our hearts so that we're receptive to the message that you have for us. And additionally, we present to you all of our own personal needs, intentions, things that might easily cause us to be distracted. We give them to you, Father. We ask you to handle them for us. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Oh, you know what? I did my blessing. I did my sign of the cross a little too soon. I want to turn to the Blessed Mother. Hold on. I want to turn to the Blessed Mother and ask for her intercession. As together we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. And good Saint Joseph, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See, I jumped the gun there. I got a little too excited, and I've ended the prayer almost without asking the Blessed Mother to help us. And I certainly don't want to do that. It's great to be back here with you on the program. The past couple of days, I've pre-recorded the shows because I had some birthday festivities to attend to. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, as I mentioned on the show yesterday, they turned 18 yesterday, and I pre-recorded yesterday's show in order to make it possible for us to do some family celebrating. But now I'm back here and ready to get started with another episode of the program, and I'm really glad that you were able to join me on the show. Today we're going to look at the feast of St. Simon and St. Jude. Now, we don't know a lot about St. Simon and St. Jude. We do believe that St. Simon was called the Zealot, probably because he belonged to the party of the Zealous of the Law. But other than that, we don't know that much. We don't know too much more about him. St. Jude Thaddeus, as he's referred to sometimes, is believed to be the author of a short epistle, which is the Letter of Jude. And according to tradition, they both preached as far as Mesopotamia in Persia, where they were martyred. Now, I do want to talk about St. Jude for a minute. As you may know, he is generally regarded as the patron saint of hopeless cases. When you're just about at the end of your rope, you may know that St. Jude is the go-to guy. And I know I've prayed to him. I've asked for his intercession on many occasions when all hope seemed lost. So why does this happen? Why do we turn to St. Jude for hopeless cases? Well, the tradition is, and again, this is just a tradition, I don't know if this is true or not, is that he's often confused with Judas, the other apostle, whose name is similar. And because people were afraid to pray to St. Jude, not Judas, but St. Jude Thaddeus, he was someone who people went to for intercession as a last resort. So therefore, he became the patron saint of hopeless causes. If you have something in your life that seems hopeless, that you've given up hope. And remember, with God, all things are possible. So nothing is really hopeless when it comes to the Lord. But consider asking St. Jude to intercede for you. He's really good at that, and he's known for that. So ask St. Jude, ask St. Simon while you're at it, because their feast days are joined together. They were apostles. They were chosen by the Lord. And, you know, you can be sure that they did some sort of good work in their lives. What exactly, we don't know, but the Lord chose them because he believed that they could carry on his work with his help. And that's for the same reason that he chooses us to do his work or to share the good news, not because we have great qualifications, but because with his help, we can do all things. So, St. Simon, St. Jude, please pray for us. Let's take a look at these Mass readings today. Again, like I mentioned at the start of the show, they're relatively short. They are what is known as proper Mass readings. They're proper to the feast day. The first reading is from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Brothers and sisters, you are no longer strangers and sojourners, but you are fellow Christians, you are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. Through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, this reading, this excerpt from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, was chosen because it highlights the fact that the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the capstone. The reason I like to talk about the apostles is because of the fact that they were so incredibly human. They were so much like us in the sense that they were ordinary people. They often misunderstood the teaching of the Lord. So if you struggle sometimes to understand the teaching of the Lord, as do I at times, feel comfortable, or comforted, I should say. Take comfort in the fact that the apostles struggled in the same way. They weren't great theologians. They weren't academic scholars. But they were really just ordinary people through whom the Lord spoke and the Lord worked. And that's the thing for us to remember, that the Lord can speak through us and work through us and do great things through us, even if we don't feel ourselves to be especially competent. And that's the way he likes to work. Because if we are too advanced, and if we start to feel too much of a sense of pride, then we're going to limit what the Lord can do in our lives. He likes to work through people who are very willing to acknowledge their weakness, who are very willing to be submissive to him and give him the chance to work, right? Because if our pride starts to get a little bit too great, then we don't want to let him do anything because we think we have it all down. If you feel weak tonight, take comfort in the fact that the apostles were weak. Ask St. Simon and St. Jude to pray for you. And ask the Lord to use you in the way that he sees would be best. And they can set a great example. They do set a great example for us and remind us that the Lord can use any of us to spread the good news. I think that's a problem sometimes, where we forget to ask for help. And we think we try to do it all on our own. Once we realize that, yes, we're supposed to evangelize, we're supposed to share the good news, we just try to do it all by ourselves, and we don't ask for the Lord's help. The responsorial psalm is one that is generally used for the feasts of apostles. Psalm 19, their message goes out through all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day pours out the word to day, and night to night imparts knowledge. not a word nor a discourse, whose voice is not heard. Through all the earth their voice resounds, and to the ends of the world their message. The apostles spread the good news around to different countries. It wasn't as easy to get the word out to the entire world as it is today. We could just hop on the internet. I mean, it's very easy to get the message to a number of people today, but it wasn't as easy back in the day. So the geographic region that was covered by the apostles was smaller than what would be able to be covered today. But here's what you and I need to remember. We've got people around us. We've got our family. We've got our friends. We've got our coworkers. We have people that we run across in the store, in restaurants, wherever we may be, on the street. We can share the good news with these people. And remember, it starts by being nice. It starts by smiling. It starts by having something kind to say. It doesn't necessarily have to be with words. Now, words are important when it comes to evangelization, but they're not always necessary in the beginning. It's more important that we begin by kind actions and just to be a pleasant person, because otherwise, all the words in the world won't make a difference. So keep that in mind. Share the word of the Lord to those around you, whoever they may be. Start with your families, your coworkers, the people you encounter throughout the day. And this is how the kingdom of God grows. It always starts out small, but it grows by you and I doing our job, which is exactly what the apostles did. And honestly, if you look at the competency of the apostles, without divine intervention, there's no way that the church would still exist today, right? I mean, you look at these guys, and they weren't especially competent. But that fact, their fallibility, reminds us of the fact that with the Lord, all things are possible. The gospel today is from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon who was called a Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Now this gospel, and you know why I like this gospel? There's a couple different reasons. The first thing we learn is that prior to selecting the apostles, what did Jesus do? He went up to the mountain to pray. He spent the night in prayer to God. And this is what a great example that is for us. Prayer is so important to Jesus. When he had big decisions to make, we often would find him in prayer. And this is what happened. He prayed before he selected the apostles. Can you imagine what that conversation was like between Jesus and his Father? We don't know exactly what was said. We don't know what the back and forth was. But we see an example of someone who prayed just before he had an important decision to make. And he prayed for a long time. When you and I have an important decision to make, do we pray? Now, we don't certainly have to spend the night in prayer, but we want to make sure that we are praying, especially during those times that require us to make an important decision. We want to pray every day, but we also definitely want to be praying extra hard when we have a big decision to make. And we see the list of the apostles. Some of them we look at and we think, why in the world did the Lord choose these men? And honestly, when you look at what we know about the apostles, I don't know of any of them who would warrant us saying, well, I know exactly why the Lord picked him. I would pick him too. For the most part, they had many, many flaws. But I always look at it as something that gives me comfort. Because if Jesus can get something good out of the apostles, as imperfect as they are, then he could also get something out of me. So today, again, we celebrate St. Simon and Jude. Ask them to pray for you that you may be able to spread the good news in the way that the Lord needs you to spread the good news. He might not have you travel to foreign countries. Actually, he probably won't. But you can certainly do plenty of work right in your midst, whatever that may be. Now, if you have questions about any of what we just talked about, let me know, Gary@followingthetruth.com. Let's look at now the peace of a good conscience. Every Wednesday on the program, we open up the book My Daily Bread, a summary of the spiritual life by Father Anthony Payone, a Jesuit priest, was originally published in 1954. This book is it's an excellent book. It was one of Mother Angelica's favorite books. It is still available, either from the EWTN Religious Catalog, or you can get it from Tan Books. I believe you can find it on Amazon as well. It's not an especially hard book to find. It is a little book. It's kind of pocket-sized. You can almost fit it in your pocket. But it's the type of book that really will help you in your daily walk with the Lord. It's that daily bread that you need. The book is written in the format of a conversation between Christ and us. Then it gives us something to think about. And finally, we end with a prayer. So why don't we read this? This is the Peace of a Good Conscience from My Daily Bread. Imagine Christ speaking these words to you. My child, if you have a good conscience, you need not have any fear of death. It is better to try to avoid sin than to try to escape death. Now, you know, we've been talking about this on and off because both in The Imitation of Christ and this book, the authors have been focusing on the fact that our lives will come to an end. We will appear before the Lord and be judged. And we certainly want to be ready for this. We don't want this to catch us by surprise. And there shouldn't be a surprise because we know what's happening. But sometimes we find this an unpleasant thought, so we don't think about it. But as the author said, if we have a good conscience, we shouldn't have any fear of death because everything will go well. A wise man reflects often on the hour of death so as to be prepared for it at all times. If you want to please me, try to become today the kind of man you would like to be at the time of your death. Make this effort, and death will find you full of confidence and peace. For this must you daily strive, a healthy contempt for worldly comforts, a burning desire to advance in virtue, a love of right order in your actions, a spirit of penance, readiness to obey authority, self-discipline, and patience to bear adversity for my sake. Try to become today the kind of man you would like to be at the time of your death. This is something we generally don't focus on. We generally don't think, today I'm going to behave as if it was the last day of my life. If somebody would tell you that tomorrow you're going to die, and you knew that there was a judgment, right? You knew there was a judgment. How would you act today? What would you do today? I'm sure there would be some things that you would do with a great sense of urgency, knowing that this would be your last day on earth, right? I mean, it only makes sense that you would. Well, we're never sure when it will be, when our last day will be. Let's live this day as if it was our very last day on earth. And then if that's the case, then there should be no problem, and we will be ready for death whenever it comes. Doesn't mean you are going to die today, but it means you're going to be ready. As the church year comes to a close over the next few weeks, we've got 4 weeks to go, we're going to hear more of these type of readings. Because the church wants to make sure that we're ready. As the church year comes to a close, the church wants to remind us that our lives will come to a close. So therefore, we need to have our business in order. Nothing is more important for us than to be sure that we are dying with a clear conscience, that we have sought forgiveness for any mortal sins that we've committed, and that we're ready to be judged at any point. That's what the church wants us to remember. That's why you're going to hear a lot more about this. Okay, something to think about. A good conscience means that I have honestly tried to learn what God desires of me, and I have sincerely tried to do what He desires. Without these two efforts, there is no good conscience. A man who knows that he has really made these two efforts has a good conscience. To such a man, God gives His peace. Others may be distracted with earthly activities and interests, but they do not have that interior peace which can remain calm even in the face of death. Now, remaining calm in the face of death is not something that comes natural to most people. We fear death for a lot of different reasons. Part of it has to do with the fact that it's so final. Part of it has to do with the unknown. Part of it has to do with the fact that we panic because we don't know what kind of pain we'll have to suffer before we die. There's a lot of different reasons. But one of the other reasons, and that's what the author is getting at here, is the fact that we're afraid because we don't think our judgment will go well. Well, if that's the case, if we don't think our judgment will go well, we want to make it a point to do what we can to correct that problem, so that when I stand before the Lord and I'm judged, I want to be sure, to the best of my ability, that I've taken control and handled any potential sins that I have. We don't want to be being judged when we have mortal sins on our soul, because then the church teaches that's when we go to hell. That's a serious thing. So just make sure, take this as a reminder today to address that in your life. And if you do, then there will be nothing to fear. Let's close with a prayer. My God, I hope to obtain your holy assistance so that I may never avoid learning your holy will, nor ever fail to follow it in my daily life. I may find a little less pleasure if I follow your will, but I shall enjoy your peace, which is greater than any pleasure. If ever I become selfish enough to avoid your will, let my conscience disturb and annoy me until I return to you. Amen. There's where conscience can be a great blessing. There's where especially a guilty conscience can be a great blessing. We often hear people make fun of Catholic guilt, and you can tell you're Catholic if you feel really guilty. Well, you know what? I've always had a guilty conscience. I've always been somebody who has felt guilty if I did things wrong. That is a great blessing, to be able to have a guilty conscience, because otherwise what can easily happen is our conscience can become dull and we do things that are sinful and we really don't feel the guilt that we should feel. And that's the beauty of conscience. That's the beauty of conscience and how it can help us to get back on track with the Lord. We should always try to inform our conscience to the best of our ability, and we should continue to ask the Lord to help us to be able to know what it is that we should do in our lives, especially if we've strayed. Okay, that's about all the time we have for today. God willing, I'm going to be back tomorrow. Thursday on the air on this show is Mother's Day, so we'll talk about the Blessed Mother. In the meantime, let me know if you have any questions. Let me know if there's anything I can do for you. You can reach me at Gary@followingthetruth.com. It's a great pleasure to be with you each day. And thank you so much for making this program a part of your daily spiritual journey. It's a great honor. And if there's anything I can do for you, please let me know. You will be in my prayers. And if you would mind, would you please keep me in your prayers as well? I would greatly appreciate it. Well, I do hope you have a wonderful night. God bless you. And God willing, we'll see you tomorrow night for another show. God bless you.